Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Read with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Has child safety become a forgotten blind spot of the internet? Today we're speaking with Dr. Yuyun Park. She's written a book meant for the general reader. In fact, all stakeholders who are involved in digital technology, just as the term IQ has directed how we think about education. Dr. Park wants to use DQ, digital intelligence, as a framework for how we're moving into the digital age and whether or not we're rushing into digitization and what the fallout of that all means for our children. Welcome to the program, Dr. Yuyun Park, and congratulations on your new book.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you for having me.
All right. I want to start with the big news of the day, and you know, and that really is China critiquing the video game industry, saying the industry should be held accountable for the fact that the games are so addictive that some students are spending up to 8 hours a day hooked on a Tencent game. Now, based on what you understand of children and the time that they spend online and these games, do you have a view of, you know, whether China's right?
Sure. We published the Child Online Safety Index in 2020, right before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And our findings show that about the average children, not just the problematic children, about 30 hours per week for entertainment-only screen time. And after COVID, there are reports that screen time increased up to more than about the twofold. So it is not just about the gaming issue. Actually, screen time is aggregated whole issue. But gaming issue is quite problematic. What we found is that about the 60% of children age 8 to 12 have experienced at least one cyber risk. Including cyberbullying, gaming addictions, offline meetings, fake news, and more. And about 10% of children have a risk in gaming addiction. So you can see that it is quite problematic, and I can understand where it comes from.
So your book is aimed at the general reader. So do you think that for change to be made with the pace of digitization, we really need to get corporations in the picture and not just tell parents, you know, you have to guide your children in this day and age when it comes to the internet?
Sure. But before we go into that, have you heard about the term DQ before?
No, I've never heard of the term DQ for sure.
Yes. So some people is a dairy queen, and my mom thought that DQ is a drama queen. But if you think about it, IQ stands for intelligence. EQ stands for emotional intelligence. DQ stands for digital intelligence. So before, high IQ and high EQ people become successful. But in the digital age, people with high DQ will become successful. So what it means to be a digital risk and a DQ is that there will be and there are a lot of risk. But what we need to focus is not about the risk alone. It's about how much we empower children and individuals to have high DQ so that they can overcome the risk and thrive in this digital age. And related to your questions, yes, it is not just about the children, because DQ is important for the old everybody, especially the workforce who is who needs to be ready for the digital transformations in their companies as well. I will stop here.
So you've worked with TikTok, is that right, to help out with family safety?
Yes, I've been chairing the safety council for the TikTok. And what we've been also focusing on is how also we can, not just about the safety measures on the platform, how mm-hmm. we can empower teenagers and individuals, users, to become more digitally smart so that they can become a more safe and responsible digital citizen on top of the safety measures on the TikTok as well.
All right. I think to give a sense of the gravity of really of what you're talking about, let's start the beginning of the book, where you begin with a shocking case in Korea that catalyzed your work in the field. Perhaps I should step back and ask the question, was that really the case that made you decide to champion child online safety?
Well, yes, the books describe how I started, but it is not just about that girl, because I'm a mother. I also have two children. Mm-hmm. Yes, and they're the main reason, because I think, you know, our children need to live in the digital world. And more society push digital transformation even harder. And people usually think about the two things in a separate issue, the cyber risk and digital skills. But actually, as I shared in the previously, children who have the better understanding and who are ready for the digital world can overcome the risk. So I found that it's enormously important for us to think about the new intelligence in the digital age, not just focusing on the risk. So that's where I started from here. And the reason I wrote the book was that last year, October 10th, ICHU became the global standards for digital literacy and digital skills. And it happened to be my 10th year anniversary since I started my social impact journey on the online safety for children and digital skills. And I met so many amazing people throughout this journey while working with people around 80 countries. So I wanted to share the amazing insight that I learned throughout the journey.
Amazing, yeah, because in 2010, when you founded your startup, you write in this book that your goal was in 10 years to set the global standards for digital safety and empowerment. And I guess you hit your target right on the spot.
Yes.
10 years, well done.
thank you. To my surprise, actually.
So your hope is to DQ every child. Correct? That's the name of the movement, DQ Every Child. Now tell me, Dr. Park, at the heart of DQ, is that really an old school sort of skill set, which is critical thinking?
Yes. To make it even more simpler, you know, IQ is about the smartness, right? Mm-hmm. And EQ is about how kind you are. And I think DQ is about how wise you are. So now in this digital age, you know, education's the paradigm has been shifted so much. There are so many information out there. It is not lack of information. It's about the how we contextualize it and make it a benefit for ourselves and others, and how we can use, control, and create the technology for our benefit and others. So DQ is more about the wisdom focus rather than knowledge focus. Of course, knowledge is there, but how we can process the knowledge and make it into benefit for ourselves and others, that's what DQ is about.
Dr. Park, can you share for us the worrying effects of the cyber risk pandemic that you talk about on children?
Yes. I found the reason actually we named pandemic right after we named it pandemic, the COVID-19 happened. And then actually I realized that, oh my goodness, this is quite the, what is it, the word that I may have, should have avoided. But what I found is that we looked at the countries around the 30 countries and actually broadly around 100 countries. And the cyber risk pattern across the different countries were very, very similar, surprisingly. Different age groups, different regions, different cultures, but the prevalence of cyber risk are strikingly similar. And prevalence, as I share with you, is about the 60%. If you think about 60%, it's really high. So risk doesn't mean that it's harm, but actually it is very worrisome. So that's why we put the terminology of cyber risk pandemic, and which we want to actually set the alarm to the policymakers and industry leaders that we have to work together to really ring fence our children for the protection. But at the same time, we need to have an immediate movement to help them to empower with the right skills, not just old days, old framework of the education.
Yeah, as I said, you know, you started the book with a really shocking case that really holds readers' attention of that 8-year-old in Korea who was kidnapped and raped by a child pedophile. And then you're shocked at seeing a report in the media discussing this case and right under it, a paid ad for what seemed to be a promotion of child pornography. And I was surprised to read that here in Singapore this year, 1 in 3 parents reported that their child received unwanted attention from strangers. And in APAC, 35% of parents say their child was approached by a stranger on the internet. So I wonder, for parents listening in, what can they do? I mean, they can't be the fly on the wall 24 hours as their child is interfacing with the internet. So what can we do?
Yep, that is a very important question. As much child needs EQ, the parents need EQ as well. And also parents need to understand about the digital parenting. So I am also parents of this age, but I have a great sympathy toward my pure parents. We have so many jobs to do.
Yeah.
But important thing is that, you know, it is sometimes parents think of the screen as an enemy. You know, they worry about gaming addictions and they start yelling at children and, "Hey, stop using it." I do that too. But actually, the most important thing is that when there's actually the problem occurs, parents have to be the first person people that children need to come to. So build a trust between the parents and children are enormously important. And parents also have to understand what's going on online. So when they actually, when children come to them to seek the help, they need to know how to respond, you know, wisely and immediately.
They need to know how to respond, as in maintain that trust with your child so that they talk to you and they open up to you. Is that key?
Yep, definitely. It is a more important than filtering system or monitoring system.
All right. I was surprised to see in your book that you talk about morality and values. You don't shy away from it. Why is it that we cannot avoid talking about morality or values if we want to talk about technology, education, and indeed DQ in today's world?
That is a very, very good question. A lot of times people think that technology is value neutral. Like we use analogy of knife, right? It can be the kitchen knife, but it can be the harmful the tool for the bad people to hurt others. But actually technology, yes, we cannot judge technology for the misuse, but technology reflects the intention of the creators. And it is so important that business leaders and technology fields to be mindful of the safety by design. You know, when they create the technology, they have to also think about the impact of their creations and make sure that it will be used by the children. And it can be misused by so many people, as you say. There are so many people approached to young children, you know, with not necessarily good intent. So they have to be mindful, and then I strongly encourage the business leaders in the sectors to think about the safety by design, and which is coming from the value and principle of the designer of the technologies. So it is we cannot detach the value in this world, and even more for the AI age. You know, AI is based on the data that we create. And the machine will get trained by what we talk, how we behave online, and how we use technology. If our individuals do not behave with the value, and the AI will get trained in that way as well. And we have many cases in the previous history. So I think value education and value discussion has to be more important in this AI age.
All right. We started by talking about China, and we know that, you know, some companies like Tencent, they're using technology to sort of deal with this issue. So Tencent's launched a facial recognition to stop gamers gaming between certain times of night, you know, preventing people under 18 from playing between 10 and 8 a.m. It's called Midnight Patrol, you know, a facial recognition system to prevent children from getting around age restrictions by using their parents' identities or devices. So for the businesses listening in, if they are to be truly part of a global digital citizenship movement, which you're advocating, what do businesses have to do better?
In Korea, about 10 years ago, we have a law called the Cinderella Act. So similar to what Tencent did do. And of course, Tencent, in 10 years later now, is much more advanced in using AI facial recognition to restrict the screen time of gamers. But at the time, it was a brutal act. You know, the reason it was a Cinderella, because if it is underage, 12 a.m., it will be shut down. So there's more children are accessed through their parents' account and mom's account. But anyhow, there are a lot of efforts and also regulatory efforts to minimize the harmful effect of technology addiction, which is very noble. And I think it is a good starting point for us to think about how we can support the youngsters' health and the well-being. But at the same time, we have to be mindful that, you know, the Cinderella Act was not very successful. The reason being is that the people are smart. If they really want to play games, they find a way to play. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So, of course, technologists have to put the effort, and we need to work together with the social, civic society and government and industry together to think about how we can support the young people. But at the same time, it is enormously important to have the education at the same time. It is a change mindset, and it's a positive culture, and how we can translate about not focusing on the addiction and the bad side, how we can move from the risk to opportunity. I think that could be the more important aspect that we have to focus on.
Tell us about the note you closed the book on. I mean, here in Singapore, children's mental health has really come into focus with, you know, untimely deaths, whether it's, you know, at schools, or suicide rates. You end by saying, shouldn't we include well-being and sustainability as we measure digital economy and competitiveness? What's the argument there?
Yes. I was also leading the discussion last year in G20 when they developed, from the civic sector side, the new measurement for the digital economy. And current measurement for the digital economy is currently mostly focusing on the hard technology, mm-hmm. R&D, investment R&D, and you know, all this education related to technologies perspective. But in order for us to make sure that our digital ecosystem becomes sustainable, we have to think about the well-being. And now currently, human aspect has been seriously missing in our metrics and our decision making. So in order for us to thinking about sustainability and SDG goal 2030, it is just inevitable for us to think about the wellness and the well-being of individuals and empowerment of individuals. And I believe the starting point should be the child online safety. So I made a suggestion that Child Online Safety Index has to be included in the G20 measurement for the digital economy, as well as the tracker for the UNSDG. Currently, UNSDG measure is also seriously lack on the digital part, mostly on the well-being and mental health. If you see the SDG 3, it's mostly on the physical health and not much about the mental health and the digital issue, which is even more bigger issue now. So I think it is critically important.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We are reading IQ, EQ, DQ, New Intelligence in the AI Age. That's written by Dr. Yuhyun Park. Dr. Yuhyun Park, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.